Well, good morning. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to the Ag Market Network. This is our monthly cotton teleconference call. It's January the 13th. We want to thank everyone for being with us. We thank our sponsor. Our sponsor is Bayer Crop Science. We thank them. They're our long-time sponsor, and we appreciate everything they do for us. Today, our lead speaker is scheduled to be Gerald Niepier. He's having some technical difficulty that we're going to work on. Gerald's president of CalCot. He's a regular member of our cotton panel. We're going to try to get him on, but in the meantime, our panel that is on the line will discuss among themselves the crop report that came out yesterday. Dr. O.A. Cleveland is with us, Dr. John Robinson, and Kip Butts. Gentlemen, thanks, everyone, for joining us. And whoever wants to start off, if you don't mind, do that. And I'm going to work on getting Gerald on right now.
Well, good luck for that. Hi, this is Kip.
Hey, Pat.
Yes.
Oh, I'm here now.
Oh, thank you.
There he is. Oh, good.
I was dialing the wrong access.
Just in the nick of time.
Well, good. Well, thanks, Gerald, for being with us and starting us off with our view of cotton.
Well, yesterday was a big report day, but I guess you wouldn't know it by the reaction of the market. Maybe because expectations were such that they were already factored into the market. USDA reduced world production by almost 2.2 million bales. Of course, they reduced China by 500,000, India by 500,000, Pakistan by 800,000. So between those three countries alone, that was 1.8 million bales, and you had some minor changes elsewhere. Turkmenistan was down 70,000, Sudan or 100,000. Sudan was up down 70. The United States, of course, was down 88,000 bales, which I think was a little bit below expectations, and it was scattered fairly evenly across regions. I guess one thing to keep in mind when we look at these world production and consumption numbers, in 2014, world production was 19.2, world consumption was 110.4. So you had a surplus of 8.8 million bales, roughly. 2015, world production is now estimated at 101.6, world consumption at 110.9. So you have a deficit, production consumption deficit, of almost 9.4 million bales. That's a monstrous swing there in world production consumption deficit. In fact, the decline in production year over year from 2014 to 2015 at 17.6 million bales is the largest year over year decline that I have found going all the way back to 1960. The second largest was in 1992 at 12.9 million bales, and in 2008 at 12.3 million bales. So a monstrous decline in year-over-year production. And we may not be finished yet. There may be some further adjustments. They took China down to 23.8 million bales. Monday of this week, Beijing Cotton Outlook came out with an estimate in China of 21.8 million bales. I'm not smart enough to know if Beijing Cotton Outlook or USDA is closer to the truth, but it probably lies somewhere in between, so there's probably some further room for adjustments here in China. Pakistan, possibly a little bit more. USDA took them down to 7.2. I think even the Pakistani government is thinking it's closer to 7, so maybe another smaller reduction there. And India, it's hard to believe that India won't be down more considering the devastation in Pakistan, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. Maybe even more interesting is the fact that when we look at world-ending stocks, of course, they're down to 102 million bales. That's down almost 9 million bales from 2014. But world less China ending stocks is down significantly from 2014, down almost 6 million bales, down 5.8 million bales, down to 38.3 million. And that's the lowest since 1999 when it was 33.5. as I said, you know, the market has not responded, you know, as bullishly as we would like it to respond. But you know, the major headways are consumption. You know, you almost have to wonder if USDA is not bringing consumption down low enough. You know, we'd like to all think that it exceeds 110 million bales, but you just have to wonder, given the slowness, particularly in U.S. export sales, whether USDA is a little too high on that. But maybe it's just a matter of time before U.S. exports pick up. You've got a lot of foreign cotton out there that's still relatively, well, not relatively, it is very competitively priced versus U.S. cotton. And while mills may say they want quality, they're still not willing to pay up for it just yet. It seems like it's more important for them to have quantity and cheap price than it is for quality right now. But that'll probably come into its own as we move into the springtime. Like I said, I think there's some potential changes for world production eventually here for this crop year, possibly as much as another 1.5 to 2 million bales, maybe scattered between China, India, Pakistan, maybe even a little bit more in the United States, but that remains to be seen. So, you know, clearly we've got a lot of support underneath this market just by the sheer fact that world production is not what we thought it was, 6-8 months ago. Of course, we've got the headwinds. You know, you've got a stronger dollar, you've got very cheap polyester, and you've got this China contagion that seems to be affecting, you know, all things commodities right now. Although we're starting to get a little bit of a bump up here in the last day or so. Oil, I think, picked up yesterday for the first time in 6 or 7 sessions. And, you know, who knows how long that will last. And maybe it's rising only because it seems like everybody's in a race to the bottom to see how low they can get their estimates as far as oil prices. We've even seen some estimates as low as $16 to $10 a barrel in oil. And maybe that marks the end of it as far as everybody jumping on the bandwagon at once. So good support underneath here between 60 and 62 cents. Every time March sticks its head above 62 cents, though, it kind of seems to get, it's like a whack-a-mole, it gets knocked back down. But I think eventually it's going to come into its own and move a little bit higher. The big threat, of course, is trying to get through 65 and eventually 66 cents, and that's probably not going to happen for some time until we see signs of stronger export sales growth. I guess one thing one thing that may be keeping the market down is with the slow export sales right now. At some point in time, you know, USDA is going to have to be, you would think they would be motivated to start reducing U.S. export estimates. In December, they took the first step by reducing them from 10.2 down to 10 million. I kind of think it's a little early, but it's not out of the question to imagine that we could fall down to the 9 million bale range at some point in time. But we're probably a good 4 to 6 weeks away from that conclusion. If we don't see some big export sales start picking up soon. So, Pat, you know, as far as, you know, any kind of a price forecast for this year based upon these numbers, you know, 60 to 62 cents on the low side, 63 to 65 cents on the upside until we get some more news and until the money flow stops working its way completely on the negative side as far as all commodities are concerned. I'd be happy to answer any questions or enter into discussions if you'd like.
Okay, that's fine. Oway, did you see any surprises in this in the reports yesterday?
No surprises per se with respect to the total numbers. I really thought they would be a lot more aggressive with respect to bringing down the Indian crop. As Cheryl indicated, he suggested that we might not be that the world crop is will come down further. Yeah, he didn't say it would, but suggested that we could sit down a good bit. I would still think the Indian crop's got to come down at least another million bales. Some folks out there say it's so big it's 2 million bales too high still, but let's just say a million bales. But that was the biggest surprise to me. The second largest surprise in my mind was that USDA was, in fact, as aggressive as they were in bringing down the crop. They've just been so slow to react. The biggest surprise, not coming out of the report per se, but I've been a bull for so long, there's no need for me to even open my mouth. And, you know, bull may be a little bit overstated. I've been certainly much more positive to market for a long time, but I guess what's given the performance of the market, this little adage keep popping into my mind: short crops have long tails, and with demand being just all but non-existent, and the cotton losing all of its favor with consumers, this short crop long tail scenario just is back in my mind, just hammering me every day. So while I want to be positive, the market, this scenario just suggests we've got lower prices. Thank you.
Okay. John or Kip, any thoughts from you on the report?
No real strong thoughts. I'm sorry, just no real strong thoughts other than, you know, this is the kind of tinkering, the adjustments that we saw is normal in the sense that, you know, we have a pretty good sense of the U.S. supply picture. We saw some minor tinkering, no surprise there. And there's always more, because cotton is a global market, and, you know, there's more uncertainty there. You know, they're still harvesting Indian crops, hand-picking into, you know, into the first quarter of the year, so we're going to have to deal with that kind of uncertainty and somewhat larger adjustments. You know, that possibility's always been there, and it's there particularly this year. So in that sense, there was no surprise in the adjustments. Kip?
And it sounds like everybody's covered everything I would have said. I mean, I agree with both Gerald and OA that the Indian crop may need to go down a little bit more, that's about the only thing on the production side I would see right now. And it's time of the year where you do a little bit of tinkering, as in John's words. But more importantly, I think, is what we've already talked about in a kind of a minor way, and that's the consumption side. I think part of the problem right now with cotton prices is that, as Gerald said, the polyester, particularly polyester, is so competitively priced that every time cotton goes up just a little bit, there's this switch to polyester. So that's going to keep us in this range. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to go down a lot. If we're going to get the business, we're going to probably need to go down. But it looks like right now we're still in this little range, and we're just not going to go very far as price-wise.
Okay. We've got a couple of questions here. And the first one is, we have been affected recently by China's slow economy. Any thoughts on that for the future? I don't think that's our area of expertise, but would anybody like to take a stab at that?
I can stab and miss badly, you know.
Well, I mean, we can talk about that. I mean, China's been the world's engine for years now. When, you know, we've had the China miracle, the economic growth and all that, and they've been buying a lot of these commodities and pulling the emerging markets up. Everybody sort of knows that. The problem is, you know, that when you start going up like this and you get this strong curve going straight up, it just doesn't last forever. We're doing what's probably – China's probably going through an S-curve. They've topped out here short term. They're going to plateau and probably sink a little bit. That's going to – it's not going to cause – I don't think it's going to cause a world recession. It's just going to cause, you know, a continued sort of slow growth over the interim, maybe a couple of years. But it's just because the world's been so dependent on China, particularly on the commodity end, they've just been soaking up everything. When they slow down, everybody's got to sort of slow down with them. Not a disaster,
yeah,
but certainly not a scenario where you're going to see strong growth.
Yeah. which contributes to what?
Particularly when you gear up to service that demand, and then all of a sudden the demand's not there. It's like, okay, now what do you do?
Right. So it reinforces, I think, what Gerald said in his remarks. Is just, you know, the demand side isn't, or OA's mentioned this too in other venues. The demand side is sort of the weak link here, and this just doesn't help. You know, slow growth just doesn't help. It may not kill stuff, but it just doesn't help in terms of cotton consumption.
You know, I think it's healthy though in the long run, because, you know, when it looked like China was going to be the big buyer, everybody got excited. Mm-hmm. When you have one major buyer and everybody's trying to sell that major buyer, that buyer's got a lot of pricing power.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
When this demand gets spread out amongst all these countries, you know, the sellers regain some of that leverage back again. So I think, you know, I think over time this is going to be more healthy than not.
Yes, and that particular big buyer also has a history of market distortions, policy distortions, you know, messing with stuff, and I'd rather it be spread across a whole bunch of countries so it's just more commercial and follows economics more than interventionist policies.
You know, their biggest impact was just the sheer volume of what they were buying, just the world's biggest vacuum cleaner.
Right. Of all
kinds, they can intervene all they want to and policy all they want to as long as prices are above 75 cents.
All right. Look, we got another question that's come in, and it's here's someone who's curious about the extreme rains that we're seeing in this country and what effect that might have on cropland. Anybody want to comment on that?
Well, it really depends on how long these rains persist. You know, already it's putting some guys behind schedule in parts of the coastal bend and upper coastal bend of Texas. And I guess the good news is it's somewhat forcing a little bit of a shift into more cotton. So that's not necessarily bad news. But, I mean, if it keeps persisting, these guys can't get in. You know, it will start to have an impact. So, you know, right now, I don't think the rains are a big problem, but give it enough time, and they could be.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask a question of OA. OA, this summer, you had made a comment, I think when we were in New York, about farm lenders, lenders making loans to farmers for this coming up year to grow cotton, that they might not be that enthusiastic about doing that at these low levels. Do you still feel that way?
I do. It's not that they're not enthusiastic. They are very unenthusiastic. They don't like the idea of cotton, and it's hard to blame them. The unfortunate part, it's occurring right at the time that growers are having a sense to move back to cotton because the grain prices have gotten low. So that's still very much a limiting factor, as someone noted the other day, that should Secretary of Agriculture use his discretionary authority with respect to an oil seed program and include cotton seed, that this could have a huge impact on Texas plantings, or it would have a huge impact. John, you and Kip could speak to that much more so than myself, but it has become a major problem. Doesn't matter what kind of pencil you have, cotton just doesn't pencil out.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of that too from ag lenders. You know, I think last year, you know, I think they felt the same last year, but they were anticipating really strong yields because of the moisture, and then the production didn't work out, or the grades and the price didn't work out. And so now they're faced with the same situation. Well, we got soil moisture, but we got futures in the 60s. Am I going to make you a loan for cotton? And, you know, I've heard from at least a few lenders that, you know, they're a lot more hesitant to do that. Now, I'm sure that's going to impact individual operations, but, it, you know, it's going to vary operation by operation whether their financing is really impacted or not.
what I'm hearing, at least in the far west, is if a grower has a line at a bank and he's a fairly diversified farmer, you know, it shouldn't be a problem. Well, or it's going to be less of a problem than a grower who may have to go down and borrow for production loans, and he's got to carry over from this year already. That's where it starts to become a problem, and that's probably a little bit what John is alluding to, you know, in Texas. If a guy's got a carryover, you know, it makes it real tough on these lenders.
But I've even, this is the worst case story I heard, and this didn't involve a carryover situation. This was just one banker's policy was going to be, if you want to grow cotton, I'll make you a loan, but you got to have your cash on hand enough, $100 an acre's worth, because that's how much I, the banker, think you're going to lose growing cotton. You got that much of your money, then I'll make you a loan for cotton. And that didn't involve carryover. That was just his expectations of how cotton was going to be, you know, a tough situation.
Well, for what it's worth, we're all hearing the same thing. I had a phone call yesterday with that very, not John's story or that, but just the fact that cotton had looked better for a while because the grain prices were going down, but because the futures price did go down, they're concerned the bankers are really going to tighten up on it this year. So we're all hearing the same thing.
Well, December cotton's trading right at the moment at 63.05. What does it take? What does December need to get to be able to attract adequate acres?
Well, we always say 70 cents, but I across the board, but that's literally probably too high. It should be, but shouldn't be, but at around 67 cents deck is going to get some acres. Maybe we've got to get 68, 69 before we get lots of acres. Go ahead, Gerald or Kip. I apologize for interrupting
you. I think Gerald was going to say something. I'm thinking it's around, you start seeing it about 66 cents, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that and 66 cents compared to, you know, the grain prices, which it depends on where they are at the same time, so it's not a vacuum.
Yeah, and that's the point out here is that, you know, wheat's not going to cut it, and feed grain projected prices are not going to cut it. So it upper 60s will make things better. I mean, we're still going to plant a lot of cotton, but it's just going to be a tough financial haul with production prices being, you know, being 70 something cents per pound, which they are.
You know, I'm guessing right now that that world area will be down about 2% this next year. But a lot of that will come, most of that, if not all of it, will come out of China. Looking for a fairly significant reduction in area in China, maybe as much as 17-18%. And that's not an original thought. That's just based upon, you know, people's commentary and what you sort of pick up, and maybe that's accurate and maybe it's not. But if I look at those numbers and I take out China, I'm looking at virtually an unchanged world area number. Now, looking at a slightly higher U.S. number, you know, all foreign countries, less China, United States, it's expected to be down less than 1%, and that could easily be less than 1% to, you know, up to maybe 1%. So it's really difficult to know right now. But you know, expecting a little bit better yields this next year. I mean, you know, unbelievable. But we had almost a 6.5% yield reduction year over year in 2015 versus 2014 in the world, and in all foreign countries, of a little over 6%. So you don't have to increase yield very much to see, you know, foreign production increase, you know, maybe 4 to 5 million bales. But, you know, going from, let's say, 100 million bales this year to up to 104 million bales, what I'm kind of thinking about for next year is not a huge increase. But so I don't know that we need to attract that many bales. We still need to work on the stock somewhat, especially in China.
Well, that's right, Joe. Chinese stocks just simply are not disappearing at the rate we thought they would. And I was not very aggressive in thinking those stocks would disappear that fast anyway because of the quality. but they just simply aren't disappearing at a very rapid rate.
And that certainly keeps a cloud over everybody's head, because nobody really knows when the Chinese government may just say, look, guys, you know, at least the domestic mills, we need to get rid of this stuff. You know, give me your best bid, and here it is. And China doesn't buy any foreign cotton for, you know, a couple of years maybe.
Well, we've been sort of talking about that for a while, that China's going to be out of the international market, probably not buying very much U.S. But the key to all this, I think, is the demand side of this equation. You know, if we get a 104 for production next year, 1.5 call it, and you get a 110 or 112 kind of mill use, you know, you're not digging into those stocks very much outside of China, and that's really the key. China, as long as they're not an importer, the key is what's left outside, and those are still not going down as fast as we'd like, although, as Gerald pointed out earlier, we had a pretty good drop this year, a very strong one. You get another year of that, you're in pretty good shape. But the way the numbers pencil out right now, you're in this sort of long, slow process, or it's taking longer than any of us would like.
And, you know, we can't forget about El Nino. We don't know what's going to happen with that thus far, and if it's as strong as it's shaping up to be, at least in the fourth quarter of 2015, if it rears its ugly head again in the first quarter of 2016, typically the entire northern hemisphere will tend to suffer a little bit in various degrees, and yield may not increase at all. You know, we could be looking at a, you know, 96, 97 million bale crop around the world. And I don't know that we could maintain 110 million bales of consumption if production fell that low. But if you could, you could start wiping out stocks pretty quickly, at least in the world outside of China.
Before we get to our forecast, any other comments or thoughts?
Let me just come back and say what Gerald comments. You're seeing great point, Gerald, and with respect to, you know, where is weather today versus where is weather tomorrow. The Australian crop is benefiting from more moisture than they expected. It just so happens that they increased their acreage this planting, and essentially that increase is all dry land. So all of a sudden it's looking good for them. But the Brazilian crop getting planted is behind, it's dry, things are at a standstill, so to speak. So we certainly do not seem to be through with this weather phenomenon, whatever it is, whether it's El Nino, whether it's global warming, whether we've certainly not experienced anything of this nature, at least that I can recall. Go ahead.
And did you read that some article came out the other day about this 2,4-D drift in Australia? These guys trying to spray 2,4-D over their grain crops to get rid of these big broadleaf plants that have come up because of the excess rains. And I guess because of temperature inversions or something, this drift has caused 2,4-D to drift over and hit the cotton, and could have affected as much as 20% of the Australian crop in various degrees.
Yeah, I saw that. It looks like it was right at the flowering period and may, in fact, have impacted the yields. I think the jury's still out on the impact, isn't it, Gerald? I didn't see anything about...
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you probably out of that 20%, you know, maybe 20% of that is really bad, and, you know, 60% is mild. So you
right.
really don't know how that's going to affect everything, but... It'll take a while to figure that out.
Okay. Well, let's talk about our outlook for prices. I'll start with you, Gerald. You have already mentioned support in the 60 to 62 cent level for old crop, and 63 to 65 on the upside as far as resistance goes. It was a month ago when we were talking, I think you had talked about new crop maybe getting up into the mid-70s later in the year.
And I still believe that. I think that we're going to just muddle along here for a while. And then eventually, as we get through the springtime, we get to evaluate, you know, the El Nino havoc around the world. We get to see what people did actually plant, not only here in the United States, but estimated plantings elsewhere. I do think that that prices will break out to the upside. Take out this big 200-month moving average that I've been harping on, and everybody can see, you know, sitting around 66.5 cents. And to Oa's point, you know, short crop has a long tail. I do think we'll try to make a move into the 70s. Would it be mid 70s or upper 70s? I don't know, but I'm sort of hopeful. But that's the way that I feel. Does it happen before 2016 harvest, or does it happen in the springtime of 2017? I don't know, but I do think we'll make a run into the 70s sometime in the next, let's call it, 12 months.
Okay. John, let's go to you and get your thoughts.
Yeah. I agree with the old crop range. And yeah, for the new crop, I agree with Gerald. I think I've been painting a picture trying to find something happy to tell the audiences I've been talking to lately. And so the scenario that kind of makes sense to me is if we plant, which I think we will, below 10 million acres planted, 9 point something, which is relatively small acreage, and then this El Nino event starts transitioning, just transitioning to normal hot and dry, any kind of production problem, which, you know, the first one would probably hit with a crop that's emerged well, maybe delayed from cool, wet conditions like this last year was. And then if it turns off hot and dry on plantings like that, you know, you could have some kind of, you know, fear. You could have a weather rally midsummer or August. And so I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't at all be surprised to have the funds get back in and some concern about a really short crop because of low planted acres and you know, heat coming off and, you know, have it go over 70 cents. Again, how much over, I don't know. And I don't think that kind of a rally would be particularly long-lived. You know, if the funds get in, you know, they'll get in, ride it up, and get out. So, you know, you could have prices over 70 for, you know, a few weeks or a month, which is not particularly helpful unless you're nimble and go in there and hedge at that level. But that's something I wouldn't be surprised to see.
Okay. What about you, Kip?
Well, I can't argue with what we just said, but I think the point that John made is a good one, and it's one people ought to really pay attention to. Excuse me. And that is that if we do get a weather rally, it's going to be short-lived. And from a farmer perspective, you need to go ahead and take advantage of that and get some stuff hedged, because what we talked about before, you know, talking about supply-demand statistics for the coming year does not support a really high price. And if we're in a slow-growth economy and crude oil stays around the levels that it is now, maybe a little higher, you know, mid-40s or whatever, your polyester prices are not going to appreciate. So you're not going to keep that 75 cents very long because your mills have switched. So I'm probably not as optimistic as Gerald is to say it's looking at the mid kind of 70s, but anything over 70 cents I think will be short-lived. In as much as talking about a normal year, I don't know how to decide if we're going to have a crop problem or not, but given a normal year, you will get some sort of a concern. I think that's just an opportunity for farmers to get hedged. It's just not going to be a great environment this year, in my opinion.
Okay. OA?
Well, a very quick version of the story, because the cotton folks tend to know it somewhat. But like yourself, you asked your friends to tell you about the cotton market, and some of them went up to the mid-70s, and some of them went down in the 60 and below. And I basically agree with my friends. I think that's where we're going, somewhere in the mid-70s down to 60. I really think... I've have been one of the very optimistic people pushing this crop higher and higher, or the price higher and higher. I can buy into Gerald's 70 cents, but I probably have to get to the tail end of, or into the 17 calendar year, as he mentioned. Other than that, I'm just hung up on demand. Production is a non-factor to me right now. John's comments about production, very, very astute, very, very good. Production makes up half the price equation, demand the other, but we've just had such a total failure on demand. We've got to take care of that somehow, somewhere. And with chemical prices, chemical fiber prices being so low, it's just difficult to combat that. Particularly with all the spending going on in Asia and in the subcontinent.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up the meeting then. We want to thank everybody for joining us today. A special thanks to Gerald Niepur for leading our discussion today. Also to the rest of our panel, to Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Dr. John Robinson, and also Kip Butts. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time for the Ag Market Network. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.